Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you again this evening. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will meet with us tonight like he did this morning. That's up to us, though, isn't it? That's totally up to us, whether or not we invite him. He wants to be invited. I stand at the door and knock. That's not to the lost and dying world. That's to the Laodicean church. I'm knocking. Why? I want you to invite me in. I want you to ask me to come in. That's the polite way to do it. Obviously, he's tough enough to kick the door in, but he doesn't. He wants to be invited in. So I pray that all of us have prayed, Lord, would you come to meet with us tonight? We invite you to join us tonight and minister to our hearts, that we please you and fulfill the purpose for which we were created, for thy pleasure. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you would, tonight, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Now, some of you might remember a message I preached here last time entitled Locked Up to Look Up. And you know how the importance of prayer. But prayer is extremely important. But one of the things that we must do if we want to see prayer fulfilled in our lives is to believe. To pray and not believe that he can do what we're asking for, that's in vain. Look what it says there in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Believing. And that's the question I want to ask all of us tonight. How's our faith doing? Do we still believe in him the way that we did when we got saved? Do we still believe that he can do anything? You know, one of the things I loved about my kids when they were young, they don't do it anymore, but when they were young, they said, my dad can do anything. My dad's car's faster than your car. My dad can lift more weights than your dad can. Yeah. That's my dad can do anything. Now, you know, there was a time in your Christian life when you thought that way about your Heavenly Father. Oh, he can do anything. He can just do anything. Do you still think that way? Has it waned due to trials, and tribulations, and sufferings, and persecutions, and hard times, and finances, and relationships, and health, and heartbreaks? And do you still believe he can do anything? Lord, we ask you tonight to meet with us. We invite you. We need your presence. We need your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word that's perfect. Thank you I don't have to rely upon my own intellect to feed these people. God, I'm thankful that this book is perfect. And God, I know that you can do whatever you want to do in each and every one of our lives all at the same time tonight. We all have needs. We all believe in prayer. Help us, Lord, to not wane in our faith. The Bible says, when you come back, will you find faith on the earth? I know there's going to be a remnant left, Lord. There's going to be a remnant. And I pray that all of us here be found in that remnant, still believing in you. For these things we do ask and pray in Christ's name. Mark chapter 5 in your text, if you would. Mark chapter 5. A portion of scripture we've heard hundreds of times. And so tonight you're going to hear it for the 101st time. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Folks, this was a ruler in the synagogue, kind of like Nicodemus was. Only a little bit of a difference. Nicodemus came at night. Why? Because he was afraid to be put out of the synagogue. They'd throw him out. They wouldn't want nothing to do with him anymore. His reputation would be null and void. He'd be, you know, forsaken. But this man, this Jairus, a ruler in the synagogue, came to him in the daytime and willing to risk it all. His reputation, his position, everything came to Jesus in the daytime. Desperate situations call for extreme sacrifice. Being willing to lay it all on the line. I remember after I got saved, I shared with you this morning how I got saved. But after I got saved, I remember waking or going to bed one night and I had a dream of my mom burning in hell. I don't know if any of you have ever had those kind of dreams. This one, you ever had a dream that was so real you woke up and you looked for the characters in the room? It was that real to me. I was standing on the edge of hell, looking over. My mom was trying to crawl out. She was on fire. She was burning. She was weeping. She was putting her hands up, says, "Paul, help me, Paul, help me, Paul, help me." I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember waking up from that. She was screaming and crying and she was in pain and there was nothing that I could do to help her. I remember waking up from that and I said to the Lord, "Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes." And I remember the Lord saying to me, "Whatever? You mean whatever?" "Yes, Lord, whatever it takes. I want to see my mama saved. I want to see my daddy saved." I was the first one saved in our family. So there's obviously a lot of tension that goes along with calling your mom up on the phone and telling her you got saved. And then all of a sudden you understand that nobody's on the other end of the phone anymore. But I wanted to see my mom saved. Well, I didn't understand exactly what whatever meant. Lord, whatever, whatever it takes. I didn't understand what whatever meant, but the Lord knew what whatever meant. And I was a vice president of an engineering company in Rochester. I was second in command. It was going to be my retirement. I had 450,000 shares of the company stock. I mean, I was making six figures back in the 80s. I mean, it was an unbelievable job. But I was a Christian, and I was hiring people out of our church. We had about 20 people out of our church that we had hired into the company. We were seeing people saved left and right, salesmen getting saved. And now that guy, I got one guy that's a preacher today up in Rochester that we led to the Lord, and just great things were going on. Well, this one day, I got a phone call from a guy in Los Angeles, and he was an engineer. He wanted to come and sell for our company. So I told him to catch the next flight to Rochester, fly in, and I'll interview you, and we'll see where it goes from there. Well, he flew in, and I picked him up at the hotel airport the next day, and we went for breakfast. And at breakfast, now he was a Jewish man, and at breakfast, I bowed my head and I thanked the Lord for my food. And after I got done praying over my food, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm thanking the Lord for my food." And he goes, "Why?" And then one question after another question after another question, that boy got the entire plan of salvation and knew that if he did not get saved, he was going to die and go to hell. And he got that all there at breakfast. Then we went to the office. I wanted him to know where I stand. Then we went to the office, and we had a great day. We decided to hire him. He flew back to Los Angeles. 2 weeks later, we get a letter in the mail from his attorney suing me for religious persecution and harassment because I told him he'd go to hell if he didn't get saved. Well, I had a partner in the business, and the partner came into my office, walked in, and he knew he's not saved. I've witnessed to him a number of times. He never got saved. But he knew all the people in the company that were saved that we hired. So he said to me, he says, "Paul, I'm the president of the company. You're the vice president. I'm making a law right now. No more witnessing. No more talking about Jesus with any employees in this company. I said, it was on my own time. We weren't even at the office. It was at breakfast. He says, I don't care. Any employee of this company, you're not to be talking with them about Jesus Christ. I said, okay, all right. He goes, you agree? I said, yeah, I agree. It's time for me to go. It's time for me to go. I had to walk away from 450,000 shares of stock. I had to walk away from a six-figure income. That was my retirement. It was what I was banking on. And I walked away from it all. But one thing I didn't realize, I did that for Jesus. But Jesus did something for me. Because my mother was my secretary at the time. And she was sitting right outside my office door. And that president left the door open when he came into my office. And my mother got to hear my stand for Jesus Christ. And what did God do as a result of that? It was only months later that my mama came to me in our kitchen where I was raised and bowed the knee and said, Lord Jesus, if you save my soul today, I promise never to pray to Mary again. And you know, I said, Lord, is that what it was, Lord? Whatever, whatever. He goes, I'm not done. You think I'm done? I'm not done. You might be done. I'm not done. Because then, about 2 months later, my daddy gets saved. My dad, the engineer, who if he can't see it and touch it and feel it, it doesn't exist. He had no faith. And yet my dad came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, you think I'm done? I'm not done. I got more than that. I go, what do you have more than that, Lord? He says, you gave it up for me. Watch what I've got for you. Then my mom died. And I got to preach her funeral in the Catholic Church to 300 of my relatives, aunts, uncles, neighbors, co-workers, grandparents. All, they were all there. Everyone was there. Friends, everybody. They all got it. I said, Lord, I can't thank you enough. I got to preach to all of them. Even my Catholic priest, when I was in grammar school, was sitting right behind me. When I was in grammar school. And he got to hear the whole thing. God says, I'm not done yet. He says, you know, there's more to come. I go, what? Then my daddy died. And he allowed me to do the whole thing all over again. In the Catholic Church. Preacher, give it to him again, boy. Give it to him again. How did that all happen? Because I was willing to do whatever it took. The same as you, many of you, I'm sure, have done in your life when you said to the Lord, Lord, whatever it takes. This man was willing to risk his job. He was willing to risk his reputation. He was willing to risk it all. Why? Because of what was at stake. It was so precious to him. And I'm sure many of you still have lost loved ones that if the Lord were to come back today, it'd be a sad, sad day for them. Because you know, if you're here tonight and you're lost and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the only heaven you'll ever know. But if you're saved in here tonight, this is the only hell you'll ever know. Wow, what a God. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. He did exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. That's what he did for me. Why? Because I said whatever it takes. And because I had the faith of a little child. And I mean, that was years ago. I just hope that my faith has not waned, that I still believe in him the way that I did then. You know, if anything, my faith should be growing stronger, not weaker. But life beats on us, does it not? Life beats on us through all the different things that go on. I mean, just crazy things. You know, my wife and I were wanting to come here and wanting to have a nice trip here. And, you know, so we drop our car off at a place to get the oil changed and all the rest. And we call for an Uber driver. And I take my car keys because the maintenance place, the garage, car garage was closed. So they have a little drop box there where you can drop it in the slot and it goes into a key box there. Well, the Uber guy drives up ready to take us to the airport. He's got a flat tire. We can't wait for him to change it. Get another Uber. Hurry. We're way out in the middle of nowhere. It was an hour for an Uber to come. So what do we do? The guy's got a flat tire. I can't get the car keys. I would drive the car. What are we going to do? So I picked up the phone and I called a guy at our church and says, get over here right now. And he was asleep. But praise the Lord, he was there and, you know, was able to help us. But life throws curveballs at us constantly. And I don't know what you're going through tonight in your life, but I know this. If you're anything like me, you're going through something. Because life will continuously throw its curveballs at you. How we handle those. You know, we can either hit a home run or we can strike out. But we need our faith. Faith has to be involved in our Christian life. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, what does that mean? You know, we're created for His pleasure. If without faith it's impossible to please Him, then if we're walking through our Christian life in a faithless state, our creation is in vain. We can't please Him. So imagine the increase of Jairus' hope about this time, because he had Jesus Christ's full attention. It says there in verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Can you imagine that? All these people around. And Jairus has Jesus Christ's full attention. And I've got news for you tonight that if you have a need in your life and you go to Him in faith and you ask Him, you will have His attention. With billions of people on this earth, you go to Him with your request with faith, you'll have His attention. Verse 25 says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, most of you probably already know about the issue of blood found in Leviticus. But bottom line, she had to be separated from everybody else because of that issue of blood. Anything she touched had to be washed. You know, she couldn't go near anyone. Everyone had to abstain from her. She had to be put outside the city until that issue of blood was cleansed. She had that issue of blood for 12 years. Imagine being put out, away from your family, away from friends, away from the comforts of your own home. An outcast for 12 years. 12 years. She wasn't a young girl. She was a woman that was outcast and put apart. And it says a certain woman. No name was needed. It was enough that the Lord knew her name. And in verse 26 it says, and it suffered many things of many physicians. The physicians only made it worse. Imagine going to so many different doctors, only to end up in disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. You know, the Bible says hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When you don't get any hope, you become heart sick. And, you know, it was one after another after another after another. I mean, imagine whatever you're going through now, imagine that same thing going on in your life for 12 years. And imagine, would you still have faith at the end of that? Would you still believe at the end of that there's anyone that could help you? I've been to every doctor possible. And the suffering, and she suffered many things of those physicians. You know, every medication you take today causes some side effect of something else. You know, after they advertise some, you know, drug on TV, you know, don't take this drug. I mean, if you take this drug, there might be a possibility of you killing somebody. You know, and if not killing somebody, you'll kill yourself. You know, but don't worry, it's good for you. Yeah. I mean, they spend more time talking about the negative side effects of it than they do the positive effects of it. And yet people still buy it. I go to my dad's medicine cabinet at home when he was alive. And I'd open it up, and I've never seen so many drugs in all my life. And I asked, Dad, what are you doing taking, what is all this stuff? Well, this one here is for my bladder cancer. And this one over here takes care of the side effects from the medicine for the bladder cancer. And this one here, you know, helps me sleep at night. And this one here helps me get up in the morning. And and I guess that's what happens when we get old. But, you know, I tell my grandkids all the time, I'm not old. I've got 18 grandkids. I say, I'm not old. I mean, I was just 30 last year. At least it seems that way. But they say, no, no, Papa, you're old. You're old when your family spends more time laughing at you than with you. You're old when everything that works hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You're old when your children start looking middle-aged. You're old when your knees buckle, but your belt won't. You're old when your back goes out more than you do. You're old when you know all the answers, but nobody's asking the questions. You're old when you and your teeth don't sleep together. You're old when your idea of a night out is sitting on the patio. You're old when at breakfast you hear snap, crackle, and pop, but there's no cereal. You're old when happy hour is a nap. You're old when the doctor tells you to slow down and the cops tell you to speed up. You're old when you find new ways to comb your hair. You're old when you feel like the morning after and you haven't been anywhere. You're old when your idea of weightlifting is standing up. You're old when it takes longer to rest than it did to get tired. You're old when your memory is shorter and your complaining lasts longer. You're old when you sit in a rocking chair but can't get it going. You're old when the pharmacist is your new best friend. You're old when you really have to think every time you pass a bathroom. You're old when it takes two tries to get up from the couch. You're old when you're standing up produces all sorts of noises. That's I get up out of my chair and I take my first step and my grandkids are all here in the room and they hear, oh. And they look up at me, Papa, what's the matter with you? Why do you make all these noises? One day I was in the living room, my wife was in the kitchen, and all of a sudden she's in the kitchen doing something and she hears, oh. Honey, what's the matter? Is everything all right? Honey, it's okay. I'm just tying my shoes. But I'm a cheap date, really. I am. I can watch the same movie 5 times for the first time. Getting old is fun. Look at verse 26 with me. Second part of it says, and she had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Boy, talk about disappointment. Talk about discouragement. Imagine how discouraged this woman must have been. She probably had kids. She probably had a husband. She definitely had family and friends. She hadn't seen them in 12 years. Going to all these doctors, nothing better. Spent all her money, nothing better. How would you handle it? How would I handle it? But looking up is always better than looking around. Because the Bible does say, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Verse 27 says, and when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Her design in coming behind was to go unnoticed, not to interrupt what he was doing as he was going to Jairus' house. She didn't need him to notice her. She didn't need him to speak to her. She didn't need him to pray over her. She didn't need him to lay his hands on her. She just needed to touch him. To go unnoticed. Just a touch. She believed that. I don't need big hoopla. I don't want anyone to even know I'm here, because if I'm discovered, more than likely they'll stone me. I'm not supposed to be around people. They'd probably stone me. So don't, you know, I just want to touch. Because I believe if I can just touch, it'll be okay. Remember when you believed like that? Yeah. Willing to risk it all. You know, the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but it talks about the same woman come and touch the hem of his garment. Because the hem was signified the remembering of the commandments of the Lord to do them. But you know, unlike Asa, as we talked about earlier this morning, you know, she had tried every doctor in the book. She had spent all the money she had. She had one hope left, and that was in Jesus Christ. And sometimes, folks, we have to be put down so low before we finally look up. And the Lord knows. And this woman was at her last. She said, it doesn't matter if I get stoned. I don't want to continue living the way I am apart from family and friends and with this issue of blood. It doesn't matter if I get stoned. I just need to touch him. I just need to touch him. She believed that strongly. And I wish I had faith like that. That God, no matter what, I still have cousins and aunts and stuff that still aren't saved, even though they've heard the gospel, still not saved. I don't know what it will take. Verse 29 there says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You see, the same way that God is a trichotomy, so are we. She was healed of that plague physically. That was her body. But now the Lord's going to heal something else. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Virtue went out of Jesus Christ and into this woman. Virtue is behavior showing high moral standards. It went out of him and into her, and she felt it in her body. You think Jesus already knew who touched him? Of course he did. He wanted the woman to publicly testify as to what he had done for her. You know, God likes praise. He likes to be praised. He likes to be glorified. And I think sometimes he may not do what I want him to do in my life because maybe I don't testify of it. Maybe I don't give him the glory that he's looking to get as a result of it. I don't praise him for it. At our church, the first Wednesday of every month, we used to have what was called prayer and praise. And I would allow the congregation to come up, take, you know, a few minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, whatever, get behind the pulpit and share a praise. What has Jesus Christ done for you in the last month? What has Jesus Christ done for you in the last month? It was their opportunity to give God some glory. And the number of people that sat in their seats and did not get up, and it was the same people month after month. Same people got up every month. Same people sat there every month. So it caused me to have to create a new message entitled Sitting in Your Own Pew. Yeah. God gives you opportunity to praise him, to glorify him. That's what he wants right here from this woman. Who touched me? Who touched me? That's all he wanted, to be recognized for what he had done. Have you had opportunity in your life to be able to share with others, not just behind the pulpit, share with others in public, friends, family, lost people, saved people, to encourage them as to what God can do in their lives as well? And that was here the Lord was giving this woman this opportunity. The Bible says that we're created for his glory. So why do we remain silent after all he's done for us? Don't be afraid. to shout an amen, to give him the glory to his name over what he's done for you. You know, what do you do when the Minnesota Vikings are playing and there's 5 seconds left on the clock and they're down by 2 points and they're at the 20-yard line and are ready to kick a field goal? And they kick the field goal and they win the game by 1 point, whatever the case may be. Do you sit there and go, oh, that's great. Yeah, they did it again. Yeah, that's my team, yahoo. That's not how I respond when the Buffalo Bills make it to the Super Bowl, but never any further. But that's not how I respond. The greatest comeback of all time, the Buffalo Bills did. Man, I screamed my head off! But do I shout like that for my Lord and my Savior? Do I give him the glory that's due his name? You know, rather than a bunch of guys running around on field with tights on. Verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? There was a large crowd pushing and shoving all around Jesus. But her hope overcame her fear. And again, remember, anyone that touched her or she touched would now be unclean. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Her trembling was due to her prior uncleanness. She was an outcast. How would the crowd respond? You know, if we were all honest, we have just as many and as much need in our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ as this woman had. You do and I do. You know it. But how often do we go to him? When's the last time you asked the Lord, God, can you help me? I need your help, Lord. Lord, I've got friends and family that are going to die and go to hell. I have health concerns, Lord. My mom, my dad, Brother Reinhardt, different people I'm praying for. God, are you there, God? Would you help? I believe, God. God, I don't need you to, it doesn't have to be a big ceremony. We don't have to be a big service. I don't have to announce it all. If I could just but touch, I believe you could do it. When we had faith like that. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. She was fearing and trembling. You know, the Bible, the corresponding portion of scripture over in Luke chapter 8, says, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You know, there's a lot of problems that linger in our lives. And I don't know what God's will is in your life. You know, sometimes not even in my own. But I know this, God has a desire to heal. God has a desire to prosper. God has but sometimes he has to take the road of, we have to suffer affliction. We have to go through certain hard times in order to be conformed into the image of Christ. I mean, if you take Play-Doh, how do you make it into something you want? I want to make a dinosaur, out of this Play-Doh. What do you have to apply? Pressure. Pressure. You put it in that little Play-Doh machine with a handle, and you put a little star die down here for, you want to make a star, and you push down, and it comes out in the shape of a star. It's the same thing in our Christian lives. God wants to conform us in the image of Jesus Christ. He puts us in the Jesus Christ machine, the molding machine, and puts some pressure on us. And we come out, hopefully, looking like Jesus Christ. Amen? But it takes pressure. And that's what we usually don't like. Sometimes we become bitter over it. We become resentful. God, is this how you say thank you to me? I've been going to this church for 30-something years. I've been faithful to this church. I go street preaching. I'm a soul winner. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. And this is how you thank me? Remember Peter in jail in Acts chapter 12? Yeah. Surrounded by 4 quaternions of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers. Not these little panty waist, guys. I'm talking about Roman soldiers. And he was chained in between two of them. And what was he doing? Screaming out to God, I can't believe this is the way you thank me after walking with you for 3.5 years. This is how you say thank you to me. No, Peter was. Peter, just want you to know you're going to get your head cut off tomorrow. Yeah, okay, right. You got another pillow? One more, please. Just another day at the office. Just another day at the office. Totally at peace, because he believed that God could do what God wanted to do, and whatever God wanted to do was what was best for Peter. You know, the Bible says in John 12, verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Jairus' hope overcame his fear of being put out. This woman's hope overcame her fear of being caught. But the last thing is the spiritual. Look at verse 34 with me. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. That's the physical. The first part is the spiritual. So he not only dealt with her physical needs, he dealt with her emotional needs when virtue went out of him and into her, and she now had hope. And he dealt with her spiritual needs. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He dealt with her physical, he dealt with her emotional, and he dealt with her spiritual. All three. A trichotomy. The same way the Lord's a trichotomy, we're a trichotomy. Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 23 with me. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the title of tonight's message. Holy, holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y and H-O-L-Y. To be made holy, holy, all three, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. But wait a minute. Something we forgot. What's Jairus doing right about now? Where's Jairus? I mean, this woman has stopped the Lord from going on to Jairus' house. Jairus' daughter is about to die. This woman's had an issue of blood for 12 years. Could this not have waited one more day? What's wrong with 12 years in one day? Huh? If you've lived with it for 12 years, can't you live with it 12 years in one day? My daughter's dying. I was here first. He was following me. And then you had to come and interrupt the whole thing. I didn't hear a word out of Jairus. Not a word. Why is that? Huh. I wonder if Jairus believed that God could do whatever God wanted to do when God wanted to do it. And that it had nothing to do with what time he arrived. It only had to do with what his will was. You remember when you had faith like that? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Mark chapter 5, verse 35, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. As soon as. You see, the Lord doesn't want us in this state of frenzy. As soon as he even thought that possibly Jairus could be overwhelmed with the news, it says, as soon as Jesus heard what that guy said, he said, don't be afraid, only believe. The Lord wants to calm our fears. The Lord wants to meet our needs. He wants us to believe in him. And I know you say, well, of course I believe in him. I believe in Jesus. I wouldn't be saved here today if I didn't believe in Jesus. Yeah, your salvation, I'm sure you do. But how about everything after that? Is there anything that Jesus can't do if it's for your good and for his glory? Thy daughter is dead. In verse 42 of Mark 5, Jesus goes to Jairus' house. And in verse 42 it says, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. 12 years. I think I remember reading something about 12 years just a few minutes ago. The woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Could it be that the Lord originated her issue of blood at the same time he originated the life of Jairus' daughter? Could it be that he set this whole thing in motion 12 years ago to bring honor and glory to himself? Could it be? Could it be that what you're going through right now, whatever hardship it is, has been designed by the Lord for your good and for his glory? You might have to wait a year, 2 years, maybe another 12 years to see the end result of that. But if you had the faith of this woman and Jairus, that would be okay. I only need but touch. Sometimes we wonder, God, what are you doing? If you love the Lord and you believe in him and you walk with him, this you can be assured of. Whatever he's doing is for your good. Amen. Whatever you're going through is for your good. Remember, we're absolved in our afflictions, we're appointed to afflictions, we're accompanied in our afflictions, we're able in our afflictions, and we are approved through our afflictions. God knows what he's doing. Don't lose faith. When he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Remember, there was a demon-possessed son, a man that had a demon-possessed son in Mark chapter 9. And when Jesus came to him, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That means with all the belief that I have in me, Paul Ionello, all the belief I have in me for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's still an element of disbelief. There's still an element of unbelief. Well, why would that be? Well, the Bible says, teach a wise man and he will be yet wiser. No matter how wise you are, you can be wiser. No matter how much you could believe, you can believe more. Help, Lord, my unbelief. You know, remember when those men carrying the man sick of the palsy on the stretcher up to the top of the roof and uncovered the roof and let him down in front of Jesus? Remember that? You remember what Jesus said to that man that was sick of the palsy? You are healed of your sins. I have forgiven your sins because of their faith. Not his faith, their faith. That means, Christian, that there's people out there that could be forgiven of their sins that are important in your life and in my life that could be forgiven of their sins if we believed enough. Help thou my unbelief. What did the disciples say to the Lord? And they said, Lord, increase our faith. When's the last time you asked the Lord to increase your faith? When's the last time you asked the Lord to help your unbelief? When's the last time you said, God can do it? I don't need him to lay hands on me, talk over me, pray over me, shout over me. I don't need him to do anything. I don't need him to sprinkle me with water. I just need to touch. I don't even need him to know that I'm here. I believe if I can just touch, it'll all be okay. Remember when Peter was taken in jail in Acts 12? Remember what was going on down the road? Mary and a bunch of the other ladies had gathered together, a little prayer group, praying for Peter that he might be let out. And he finally gets let out by the angel of the Lord, comes to the door, knocks on the door, says, "It's me, Peter." And they said, "No, it's not. It can't possibly be Peter." And the girl says, "He's Peter. It's Peter." And then she said, "You're mad. You're crazy." Why? They didn't believe in what they were praying. Do you? Do I? You know, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the boat, and they're in a storm. Terrible storm. They're screaming for their lives, "Lord, do you not care that we perish?" And the Lord wakes up and calms the sea. 2 chapters later, not 2 books later, 2 chapters later, they're in another storm. This time they're in the boat alone. And Jesus is walking on the water. And there's, "Oh, Lord, we perish. Oh, Lord, aren't you going to help us?" Just 2 chapters ago, I did the very same thing for you. What makes you think that I can't do it now? Well, you were in the boat then. Now you're just walking on water. And in Mark chapter 6, he feeds the 5,000. 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 2 chapters later, Mark chapter 8, he feeds 4,000 men. And the Lord said, the disciples said, "Lord, how are you going to feed 4,000? He says, "Don't you remember just 2 chapters ago I fed 5,000? "Yeah, but that's not 4,000. Over there you had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now we have 7 loaves and a few fishes. But you see, God did it for you 2 chapters ago. And today you're sitting there wondering, what am I going to do? But just 2 chapters ago, he already did it for you. He does it over, and he does it over, and he does it over, and he does it over again. And we keep coming back to him and says, "No, oh Lord!" That's why they say, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. He continues to take care of us. We're all clothed. We have food in our bellies. We're very well cared. We have our health here tonight. We're saved. How's your faith? Can you say you would have responded the same as Jairus? "No problem, my daughter's dead. No problem at all. Lord, whenever you're ready, just let me know. We'll go take care of it then." Is that how you would have responded? You know, sometimes it says that the children of this world and their generation are wiser than the children of light. We know the truth. We have the truth. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. We really don't have any excuse. And after all he's done for us, how can we doubt him yet again? And in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, maybe tonight, the Lord's asking you, just like this woman did, you know what she did? She pushed her way through the crowd. Pushed her way through the crowd and dropped the wireless. And pushed her way through the crowd just so that she could get close enough to the Lord to touch him. Maybe he's asking you to push your way tonight to an old-fashioned altar and just ask him, "God, is my faith where it should be? Do I believe in you like I should? Do I have the faith of a Jairus? Do I have a faith of like this woman with the issue of blood? Or am I more like the disciples two chapters later saying, now what? God, would you come? Would you help me, Lord? Would you increase my faith? Would you help thou my unbelief? Preacher.